Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Christmas, the season anyway, and one of the words of that you don't usually hear until around Christmas time is the name that the choir sang the song Emmanuel. You hear that usually at Christmas time. You don't really hear it any other time. You know, December 25th was not the actual date, as far as we know, that Christ was born. I have an idea that he was probably born, and not that the date really matters, God really hid that from us, but I think he was possibly born around September or October. And I'll tell you why. Because of the Jewish festivals, which are symbolic, or not symbolic, but they are God's timepiece, they're God's calendar for us. And the end of September, October, it varies from year to year. The Hebrews, Jewish people celebrate the Feast of Booths called Sukkoth. And they celebrate this Feast of Booths remembering the time that their forefathers came out of Egypt and for 40 years were in the desert, and they lived in temporary shelters called booths or tents or whatever. And, you know, they live that way. And so Israel has this feast that they remember every year. And it's just like the Lord that he would send Jesus during that time, because they made these little tabernacles, these little booths, and for a week they would live in these booths. And it says of Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 14, that he came in the flesh. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and he dwelt. And the word dwelt there means tabernacled. He tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So my idea, not that it really matters a whole bunch, but the point is that Jesus tabernacled among us temporarily in the flesh while he was here upon the earth. And so one of the names that was used to describe 700 years before Christ was born that would describe what God was about to do was this name, Emmanuel. Okay? First time I read that, I thought God's Hispanic. Okay, I didn't know that. No, Emmanuel. And I guess I should bring my Bible up here, right? It'd be a good idea. But Emmanuel, and it was actually given first, it was first mentioned. It's important to know when you read a verse of scripture or a word or a subject, you find, where's the first mention? The first mention of this is in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 8. And it's a lot to read, and I just want to give you a quick summary of what was going on. In Isaiah chapter 7, the kingdom of Israel, God's people, was already divided. There was the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, and there was the kingdom of Judah, which was the house of David. So it was David's lineage, and then there was Israel, and the kingdom was divided in all of this. And during this particular time, the king of Judah's name was Ahaz, A-H-A-Z. And he was, I don't even think he was a believer, to be honest with you. But he was a king, he was a politician, he had a kingdom. And at that particular time, the kingdom of Judah, that where King Ahaz was, there were two nations coming against them, about to invade their country. And this is a very serious threat. And King Ahaz thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the scripture says in Isaiah 7:2 that his heart and the heart of his people shook like trees with the wind. So he was terrorized at this possible invasion. He'd heard their plans. They were going to come in and they were going to take over, and they were going to install a puppet king so these two nations would rule the land of Judah. He's terrorized, and so were the people. They were facing a very serious threat. As God would have it, he sent a prophet by the name of Isaiah. By the way, his name means Yahweh is salvation. And he sends him to meet King Ahaz on the road. And at the right time, the right place, Isaiah meets him. And he tells him the word from the Lord. King Ahaz, this is a word from the Lord. And he says this in Isaiah 7, verse 4. He says, "Now take care, be calm, and have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of these two burned-out sticks, these two nations. They're burned out. There's nothing to them. Don't worry about them. Thus says the Lord, it will not come to pass." And in bold, I want you to see this. This is a very firm warning to him. The word of the Lord through Isaiah says, "If you will not believe, you won't make it through this." It's a word from a prophet to the king. And King Ahaz, he's not really a believer. Now, his grandfather was King Uzziah. You can read about him in Isaiah 6. And then his father, Jotham, was a believer. They had a certain degree of fear of the Lord. And even Ahaz has a certain degree of fear of the Lord. But he believes in he would call himself today, "I'm a spiritual person. I don't believe the Lord is the only way to know God. You can know God by many names." That'd be kind of his spirituality is. So he's obviously not a believer. So King Ahaz says, in essence, to Isaiah, "Preacher, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know about you telling me just to trust God and all this thing. I got two nations facing me. And here you are telling me just trust the Lord. I hear you, preacher. But if God is with me, then why am I in all this mess?" Wonder if anybody here, other than me, has ever said that before. "Now, if God's really with me, how come I'm in all this trouble?" And so Isaiah says, "Ask," and because he hears from the Lord. He didn't just do this on his own. Isaiah the prophet hears from God, and God said to Isaiah, "Tell him to ask me for a sign." And so Isaiah says to him, "Well, king, ask God for a sign, any sign. It can be as high as heaven, as low as Sheol, the place of the... Ask for any sign you want." Oh, that's a pretty good deal. He's trying to get this unbeliever to become a believer. And so God's challenging Ahaz, "Ask me for a sign." And Ahaz says, "I'm not going to ask God for a sign." Now, at first you may think, wow, he's really being respectful. No, he's not. Because he knows if he asks for a sign and somehow the sign happens, he's going to be obligated to do it. So he said, "I'm not asking God for a sign, preacher. Don't get me into all that stuff. I'm not asking for a sign." Now, let me tell you something, and let's stop there for a moment, a little sidebar. It's not right to test the Lord. We'd all know that. We know that scripture. Unless the Lord tells you to test him. If God tells you, "Test me," then you're supposed to test him. And you already know one area where God tells you, test him. In the area of your finances. And this is not a message about giving, but right here, I just absolutely enjoy making people squirm. Because God said, "Test me. You got a problem with your finances? Test me. Do what I say about your finances and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't receive. Test me." God dares you. I think we ought to take up an offering right now because there's a lot of people that you want to test God, then you test him. He challenges you to do that. And he says, "Well, no, I'm Isaiah. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do that." And then the Lord says to Isaiah, "Well, the Lord's going to give you a sign anyway." God's, you try the patience of the Lord, well, the Lord's going to give you a sign anyway. He wanted to prove himself to you, and he's going to give you a sign anyway. And here it is in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, there's going to be a young woman who's going to have a child and is going to bear a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. Now, you got to realize sometimes with prophecy, when God speaks of like this word here, there's a meaning, an interpretation both near and far. There's an interpretation for right now because God is speaking to Ahaz and he's trying to get Ahaz to trust him. And he said, you wouldn't ask for a sign, but I'm going to give you a sign. You're going to hear about, probably in your royal household or whatever, that a young woman's going to have a child. Doesn't necessarily mean that this woman's going to be a virgin. That is talking about young maiden here. And we know Mary was a virgin and Christ was born of a virgin. But the interpretation here is this. There's going to be a young woman who's going to have a boy, and they're going to call this boy by an unusual name, and the name is going to be God with us. And you're going to hear about it. You're going to see it. And that's the sign from God. And so the sign was in the meaning of the boy's name. And this is the first place we hear of Emmanuel. First place in the scripture. So you have to know the context of what's going on here. In essence, Jesus is a sign from God for us. He's a sign to you and me. When God gives signs, it's because he knows that people don't know how, from where they are, they don't know how to get to where God wants them to be, so they have to have signs. 468, turn left here. 44. No, you have to have a sign. If you know the way, you don't need a sign. But if you don't know the way, you need a sign. Jesus is a sign. Hang on. 700 years later, now this prophecy that was given at this time is now repeated again. 700 years, 7 centuries later, a man by the name of Joseph found Mary, his engaged wife, to be pregnant, and he was very upset about it. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and he says that Mary and he have been chosen by God to be the fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy about the Messiah. And the angel said to Joseph, in Matthew 1, he says, they, the people, shall call his name. The people will call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. But verse 21, the next verse says, but you, Joseph, you're the father, not the biological father, but you're the father who's going to oversee this earthly situation when he's a little child. You're going to call his name, for he'll save his people from their sins. Now, here's the point of Christmas. Emmanuel. That's the whole point of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. What difference does it make? Oh, wow. I'm glad you asked. God with us, even when we don't know he's with us, he's with us. And I'm not a pantheist, not like he's in the trees and he's in the air and he's in the rocks and he's in the wood and he's in the pole. No, I don't mean he's with us. He's omnipresent. He's with us even when we don't even know he's present, even when we don't think about him, when we don't feel his presence. It is God who has taken the initiative here to show us what he's like. Now, back to 700 years ago. Ahaz was faithless. He, instead of wanting to trust God, wanted to hire the king of Assyria and his big army to come down and fight this battle with his men so that he could take care of it. And Isaiah was encouraging him, don't trust in flesh, trust in God. God is with us. And Ahaz had a hard time believing that God really was with us because of the mess that they were in. Emmanuel is a sign from God. God's with us. Look back over your own life. Before you were born again, before you were saved, think about the times that you can look back now and see it was God who was with you that spared your life from that car accident, from that sickness, from that disease, from that disaster, from going a wrong direction. It was, maybe you made bad choices and you suffered the consequences, but somehow you could look back and see God was with you. And you weren't even a believer. You see the heart of God. God with us. Emmanuel, we're seeing what God is really like. He's a God that's chosen to be among us and be with us. Even if we reject him, even while we're yet sinners, Christ already died for us. This is the love of God. You're beginning to see what God is like. It's so unlike the picture that religion paints the way God is in the world. Emmanuel reveals the heart of God. God with us. That's always been his intent, always been his desire. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it manifested in the New Testament through Jesus. So God is with us even when we don't know he's with us, even when we're lost. If you're not born again today, if you're not been born from above by the Spirit of God, God is with you. He's just not in you. And he wants to be in you. That's his ultimate goal. And live his life through you. But he's with you. He's around you. You don't have to go to a special building to talk to God. You don't have to go to the priest to talk to God. He's right there. The Pharisees one time showed their wrong theology. They said, you remember last week I shared with you a little bit about the blind man that Jesus healed. And the Pharisees said about Jesus when they found out Jesus wanted to heal him. They said, now we know this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus, which... wrong. Okay. We know this man is a sinner, and God doesn't hear sinners. That's their theology. Well, is that true? We'd all have been in trouble. How would you ever get saved? So we're seeing a different picture. When God is giving us Emmanuel, God, he's showing us what he's really like. And he's destroying those false images of religion. Secondly, the thing that happens about what's the big deal about God with us? Believing that God with us, believing Emmanuel, means I don't have to worry anymore. I know you don't believe that, so I'm just turning my back to you because you just don't believe it. If we really believe God with us, we don't have to worry any more. Now, you can worry if you want to, but you don't have to because God's with us. And let me try to explain. You see, with God, believing is seeing. With man, it's more like seeing is believing. But with God, believing is seeing. See, it may look like to you that I'm standing up here all by myself. Because if you just believe what you see, then that's what's all you get. But I'm telling you, and I'm so confident, I'm not alone. I'm not standing here alone. I'm not preaching alone. I'm really not. I'm telling you the facts. I am not standing here alone. The greater one, Emmanuel, the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the Lord who is my righteousness, the Lord who is my healer, the Lord who is my provider, the Lord who is my peace, the Lord is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with me. Emmanuel, God Almighty, he is with me and in me, and he's speaking through me to you. It doesn't look that way. So if he's with us, somehow, if we believe, that's the key, if we believe he is with us, it empowers us to do things we could not do on our own, and it empowers us so that we do not have to worry or be afraid of anything. Four people believe that. I don't care. You get to choose how you want to live. You get to choose what you believe or not. God with us empowers us to be able to never worry again. Preacher, are you telling me that you don't ever worry yet? No, I have worried, and when I've worried, it's sin just like it was sin with you. But I'm learning. If I really believe God is with me, what am I afraid of? If God's for me, who can be against me? What do I fear? What is God afraid of? And he's with me. When everybody else, and it'll happen soon, starts to cry out, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? If you really believe Emmanuel, God with us, you won't get caught up in that panic. You just won't get caught up in it. And people will look at you and they'll say, how come you're not running around and worried? And what? You say three words, God with us. That empowers me. It empowers us so that when storms come and they come into everybody's life, we can be like our Savior, like our Master, like our God, and be asleep in the back of the boat while the storm's going on and everybody's in a panic, and here we are resting. Why? God with us. God, that simple, basic truth. God with us. God with us. But the doctor said, God with us. God with us. Now, back to 700 years ago, God originally spoke to Ahaz, who was facing overwhelming odds against him. In the natural, you would be afraid. There are two nations about to invade you, about to wipe you off the face of the earth. And yet, the Lord says to him, to him through Isaiah, he says, you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. And how many times has someone said that Jesus said, fear not? About 365 times. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. This is a serious message. And this is really one of those messages where we have to probe our own hearts and see whether or not we really believe it or we just sing it as a Christmas song every year. God with me. God is with me. Even David in the Old Testament believed it. He wrote in Psalm 27, verse 3, he says, though a host, an army encamps against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, in this I will be confident. Emmanuel, he's with me. God with us. And he basically says to Ahaz in chapter 7, verse 9, if you don't believe this, you will not last. Can I get an amen from somebody who understands this is how God operates? When he declares something, when he says something, the next thing is, do we believe it or not? And he warns, Isaiah the prophet warns King Ahaz, if you don't believe this, you will not make it. Faith is a matter of life and death, ladies and gentlemen. Believing that God is with us will make us successful and enable us to be content in circumstances beyond our control. I'll say it again. Believing that God with us, Emmanuel, will make us successful. You ought to say amen right there. And enable us to be content with circumstances beyond our control. I want to prove it to you. Another Old Testament example. Joseph in the Old Testament, one of the sons of Jacob, was sold as a slave by his brothers who betrayed him. And they went home and told their father, your son died. They showed a bloody jacket, his bloody jacket, and they lied to their father. And Joseph went down into Egypt As far as Abraham was concerned, they'd never see him again, or he's going to get killed, but he was sold as a slave. And he sold as a slave. The slave is the lowest of the low. You own no property. You have no money. You don't even own the clothes on your back. And a slave is the lowest. And here he is with destiny from God in his heart, in his life, not understanding why has this happened to me. God had given him dreams, and now it looked like his dreams would never come true. And here is Joseph, a mere slave, working for an Egyptian. In Genesis 39:2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. Can you put that on the screen? Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. Would you say that out loud with me? Because you need to get this. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. God's definition of success is simple. God with us. That's it. Pay attention. God's definition for success in your life and my life is very simple. It's three words. God with us. The same word, Emmanuel. But we often here in America equate success with being at the top. When you become the CEO, when you become the boss, when you become the owner of the business. People have a tendency to tie significance or success with a position in life. But God has never tied success in his definition to a position or money or anything like that in life. He ties success to himself. He ties being successful to a person. And that person is himself. And God says, if you have me and I am with you, you are success. We ought to just give the Lord applause right there and thank him. I mean, there's nothing for you. And the best gift, listen, the best gift we could give the world this Christmas would be to become content with God is with me and then let him live his life through me. God is with me. Well, it doesn't matter what my circumstances. If I'm a slave, God is with me. If I'm a dishwasher, God is with me. If I'm a doctor, God is with me because I'm born. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is with me. And people will notice that. If you're a dishwasher, if you're a babysitter, people will notice something different about you. And when that happens, when people begin to notice that God is with you, they'll want to know what you have. God, if you want me to be a slave, then I'll be a slave and I'll be content being a slave and I'll be the best slave I can possibly be. You want me to mow grass, God, the rest of my life. That's okay. If that's what you want, I'll mow grass the rest of my life. I'll be content with that long as you're with me, God. That's all that really matters. And then the world looks at you and doesn't think that you're a success, but God says, if I'm with you, you're a success. And that's really big. Now, it's interesting in Genesis 39, verse 3, that the master of Joseph, whose name was Potiphar, it says this. It says, now, Joseph's master saw, everybody say saw. He saw with natural eye that the Lord was with Joseph. Here's a man that's not born again. Here's a man that doesn't have spiritual eyes, but he looked at Joseph and he could tell God was with him. God was with this young man. Not even being a believer, his master saw with his own eyes. See, when God is with us and we believe it, God makes us successful to fulfill our mission, whatever that may be. Amen. Number four, believing that God is with us causes you to expect good things are going to happen in you and around you and through you. Believing that God is with us, believing Emmanuel, these three simple words will empower you to begin to expect that God is going to do something good in me, around me, or through me. Amen. The very first miracle our Lord did was at a wedding. He's invited. His mother's there. They go to the wedding feast. And there's a lot more people that showed up than they expected. And they ran out of wine, which is a great embarrassment to the father holding the wedding. And Jesus' mother, being a good Jewish mother, says, Yeshua, my boy, come to me. Look at your mama. You know when your mother's telling you, you know something's up, right? Yeshua, they've run out of wine. It's not good, son. It's not good. Woman, it's not my time. Turns and walks away, and she says to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, no matter how strange, you do it. You hear me? Yes, ma'am. No matter how strange, you do it. How does she know? I mean, he didn't say, woman, it's not my time. How does she know that something good is about to happen? The same way you should know. She had a history with Jesus, obviously. She knew what he was like. She knew the character, his nature, and all that. So she's drawing on him, being his mother. And she knew, because the simple fact that he is with her and he is good, he cannot help but do something good. Now, we don't know the details of what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. That's why she told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. No matter how strange, do it. She knew because he's with her and he's good. And you ought to have that kind of confidence too. You ought to face life with, I don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. I'm not on the planning committee. I'm on the welcoming committee. And I know he's with me. And I welcome him in this situation. I welcome him to come in with his goodness and with his grace and bless. I welcome him to come into this situation and make good come out of it, because he's with me and he's good. But you have to really believe that. Because if you say it and you don't really believe it, you're just like everybody else. And she knew something good is going to happen. Remember, this was the warning. This was the warning, church, that was given to King Ahaz in Isaiah 7. And he made it very clear, if you will not believe, surely you'll not last. And he was facing overwhelming odds. And I say to you as the church and as the body of Christ, the people who say we believe that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. We know the purpose of Christmas and we know what it's all about. I say to you that in the same way that Isaiah warned King Ahaz, he also warns you and me. If you will not believe, you will not last. Faith is a matter of life and death. Faith in what God has revealed. Faith in what God has said. And one of the greatest hindrances we have is wrong thinking that we've picked up over the years about God. Permit me to remind you of the example in the book of Numbers we talked about several weeks ago, when Israel was out in the desert and they needed water, a legitimate need. And they grumbled to Moses and they complained about the circumstances they were in. They needed water. And they basically said, I just killed a bug. That's not what they said, but they said, we need water. We were better off. When you start complaining, listen, you're not in faith. And they started complaining. And they said, we need water. What are we going to do? We brought us out here to die. Blah, 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 blah. And then they said these terrible words. Is the Lord among us or not? We get frustrated. We get upset. We've prayed. Nothing seems to change. In fact, maybe it's worse. And we are where we are in a difficult circumstance, and we don't know what to do. And then the words come out of our mouth that are actually hidden deep inside our heart. Is the Lord among us or not? And they were judged for those words. It's because they had wrong theology, wrong thinking about God. When things, we equate it this way, we say, when things are going good in my life, then God is with me. But when things are going bad in my life, God's not with me. That's how we know if God's with us or not. Wrong theology. You're headed for some tragic disappointments in life. Where did you get that from? Who taught you that? And this wrong thinking creates a performance-based relationship with God. We think, you know, if we perform well, you know, and we sing well, and we preach well, and we act well, and we do well, and we give well, and we are well with our neighbor, and we do well, that God is with us, He's pleased, and He's bound to bless us. You don't earn God's blessing. He gives because He's a gracious and compassionate God. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. When you think you can earn something with God by giving money or doing things or whatever it is, performance, you have entered into wrong theology and a wrong relationship with God. Let me show you how simple it is to get caught up in it. When Peter, the Apostle Peter, first heard Jesus preaching by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus finished preaching. And he turned to Peter and he said, now, go out and launch your boat out and for a big catch. And Peter says, Lord, we just came in from fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. But something about what Jesus said just caused Peter to say, okay. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll do that. And they go out in the boat, 100 yards off of shore. They let down their nets once again. And this time, you know, the huge catch, almost to the point where they're breaking the nets. And Peter is amazed. It says he's seized with amazement. Amazement seized him because, again, he knew this was supernatural. He knew God was in this. And he comes in to Jesus, and he falls down at the feet of Jesus. And his words are, because he knows this is God at work. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. The very first words out of Jesus, do you know what they are? Do you know? Fear not. Why did Jesus tell Peter, fear not? Because Peter's theology, Peter's understanding of God is this, that if I do good, then God blesses me. And if I do bad, then He can't bless me. And something has tragically gone wrong here because I haven't been living right. And I know I'm not right with God. And the sky is about to cave in on me. Something bad is about to happen. You guys better back off quick. It's the same thing when somebody, one of your friends, you invite them to church and they're a non-believer or whatever, and you invite them to church and they say these words, oh man, if I came to your church, the roof would cave in on me. How many of you heard that? Same thing. Same thing. Listen, it's the same. They have the wrong theology. They think wrong about God. They don't know God. They don't know. They picked up some wrong theology. God is not like that. Do not fear. Fear what? Don't be afraid that your sins are going to separate me from touching your life. Now, in the Old Testament, if someone had a disease called leprosy, in the Old Testament, they were forbidden. People were forbidden from touching a leper. He would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, and people would depart. But in the New Testament, what does Jesus do? He touches the leper. He embraces the leper. And he says, I will be thou clean. Are you seeing the compassion of God with us? Do you see what your God is really like? Do you see why He's always wanted to be with you? He's always loved you. And your sins are not going to get in the way of Him loving you. We don't understand how great God is and how good God is. Jesus came to show us what God is really like. God with us has nothing to do with our performance. Nothing. Read this statement out loud because you need to grab this one. Never judge your standing with God by your performance, but judge your performance by your standing with God. Now you need to soak on that. What's your standing with God? If you're born again, if you've been born from above, it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My standing with God right now before you all is I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm without sin because I've been born from above by the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my standing with God. And so if we judge our standing with God based upon how well we're doing, we're never going to do enough. You're always going to wonder, did I do enough this week? Did I read my Bible enough? Am I giving enough? Have I stayed out of sin this week? Your standing with God has nothing to do with your performance. It has to do everything with what Jesus did. And so we should judge our performance by our standing. Now, I say I'm righteous with God, and I am by his word. I am right with God. Then, therefore, I need to judge my behavior or my actions and say, well, because I am the righteousness of God, then, you know, I can freely forgive. I've been forgiven, so I can freely forgive. You know, I can. An old hymn we used to sing years ago, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Our part is to believe God and to confess and agree with God with our mouths that our standing with God results in salvation for us. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, then he can be born again. Quick review. God's prophetic word to Ahaz 2,700 years ago and God's prophetic word to Joseph and Mary in the New Testament is this: Emmanuel. God with us. That should mean something to us. What difference does it make? Number one, it makes this difference. God is with us even long before we knew he was with us. Number two, believing God is with us empowers me so that I do not have to worry anymore because he's with me. He'll show me the way. Number three, believing God is with us makes me a success and it empowers me to be content in circumstances that are beyond my control. Number four, believing God is with me empowers me to believe that good things are going to happen in me and around me and through me because God is good and he's present. That's all that matters. The Christmas message is this: God with us. The world needs to know that. They need to know the truth about him. But there's more. There's also the Calvary message, the cross. God loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten son that no one should perish. God loves us, the Calvary message, but then there's one more, the Pentecost message, God in us. God doesn't dwell in a building. This building is not the house of the Lord. God intends for you to be the house of the Lord. God in you. You have to be born from above. You have to receive Jesus by believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confessing with your mouth Jesus as Lord. And God said on the authority of his word, you shall be saved. And the Spirit of God comes in, fuses with your spirit, and you become one with him. And then from then on, all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And you walk in fellowship with him and you begin to know him in a way that you've never known before. God with us, God for us, God in us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Three important and empowering words, Emmanuel. So this week, when you're in a trying circumstance, when you're in a difficult place, when you don't know what to do, just hear yourself whisper those three words. God with me. God is with me. God is for me. God is in me. Make a difference. Let's stand to your feet. Counselors, will you come to the front? If there's anyone here who's never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is your day. To receive Jesus as Lord and Savior is not joining the church, is not being baptized. It is very simply by faith, taking God at his word. He does all the work. But calling upon the name of the Lord, something like this: "Oh Jesus, I believe you are the only Savior, and right now I need to be saved from my sin, and I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior." It may be in your own words, some of the different, but that's basically it. And then you receive him by faith. He'll do what he said. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," God said. That's his word, his guarantee. Believe him. Now, the rest of you who say, "I am born from above," oh, praise God. Are you practicing his presence so that you never worry, never afraid anymore? It's work. It's fighting the good fight of faith. I have to do that just like you. I don't always succeed by any means, but that's the goal, to never worry, never be afraid. Whatever you're dealing with, God is with me. If God is with me, then God and I are a majority, no matter how big your mountain is. Amen. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just bless the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this word. Just begin to thank him for it. He said something to you today that he wanted you to get. Now, just thank him for it. Personalize it. Just some particular thing that you're going to remember, something you're going to use this week. Just thank the Father for it. He's given you something. He's given you some manna. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I receive this word, and I thank you for it. Now, while your hands are raised, does anyone here want to receive Christ and just say, "Lord, save me right now"? That's all you have to say. Save me right now. And if you believe, he'll do it. But if you won't believe, you won't make it. Now, if you have, I'm going to invite you to come down right now to the front, right here, to any one of these counselors or myself, and say, "Pastor, I just prayed that prayer. I asked God to save me. I'm believing that he's done it." And then we're going to give you some other stuff to help you as well. If you're here for any other reason and you need prayer for healing, or you need prayer for anything going on in your life, come. Come right now. Don't wait. Come to the altar if you want to be alone. Come to the counselors if you want someone to pray with you. And then communion's open on both sides of our auditorium, as we do every Sunday. Now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you this week to show you he is with you. He is the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is with you. And something good is happening in your life and going to happen in your life just because he is with you. And may he give you grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.